Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch over us, your devoted children, and keep us safe during these trying and questioning times. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters, today is the third Sunday in Advent, and I want us to rejoice. I want us to be joyful. God wants us to do that. We're in the season of Advent, and in a little while, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be born, and he will bring us and bring to us salvation. In the liturgical colors of Advent, today is the color of pink. Pink, as you can see on the Advent wreath over there, is symbolic of rejoicing and being joyful. And why shouldn't we be? Because our Lord is going to be born in a few short weeks. We should be rejoicing. We should be feeling the joy that is coming into the world and into this house of the Lord. Amen? When I come in this church, except for this morning for some reason, I hear Tanya playing the organ. And what is she doing? She's making a joyful noise that I'm sure that God is happy to hear, because I know that I am. See, we're told in Psalm 66:1 that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And not just us, not just St. Elizabeth, but all the lands. That's what y'all do when she starts to play and y'all start to sing. See, I don't say we, because I know my limitations, and certain people believe that I can't sing, unless I'm speaking Spanish for some reason. Then all of a sudden everything is sing-song according to them. I don't believe it, but. The topic of my series sermon is joy. And it's something that I feel that enough people just don't have in their lives. Psalm 139:14 tells us that we are awesomely and wonderfully made. Isn't that enough reason in order to be happy and joyful? God didn't make trash. He made excellent pieces of work with his perfect hands. Amen? Amen. Don't be afraid. It's not a monologue. You know, we're one body under Christ. See, joy must be an important word, because it's an emotion that God wants us to feel. He wants us to spread this across all the lands. And it must be important because it's mentioned 131 times in the Old Testament, 70 times in the New Testament, and 54 times in the Apocrypha. God wants the world to be a joyful place and for his children to share in all parts of that joy. He wants us and the world to be joyful, just like it was mentioned in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verse 26, where it's written, there was a great joy in Jerusalem. We have to try to be as joyful in the here and now as they were back then in Jerusalem. Unfortunately, there are times in the course of our lives where we just don't feel like rejoicing and being happy because the burdens in our lives are just sometimes so heavy. In fact, sometimes it's so heavy, we don't want to even get out of bed in the morning in order to face the new day that the Lord has given us. Days like that, we just wish that we can curl up and keep our heads covered by the comforter. And speaking of comforters, that comforter on our bed just doesn't seem to be living up to the name that it implies. But we have a comforter. It's the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, who lives in and through us. He comforts us in our times of need and gives us that much needed shoulder to lean on and that moral and spiritual boost just to get us through those trying times in life. The Holy Spirit is at work in and throughout our lives. We're told in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, that we're supplied with gifts in order so that we can continue the work of the ministry. They're called the fruits of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in us in order to be able to make us more receptive of those gifts. He opens our minds, our hearts, and our souls so that we may be fertile ground for those gifts in which we can receive the Word of God. The gifts that are given are not given to some elite class, the rich folk, the people that have money, the people that can sit up there and don't have to deal with us common folks. The gifts are meant for those who live within the body of Christ. And that's who and what we are. We also have another comforter. And he's going to be born in 2 weeks on Christmas Day. 2 weeks. The way the time is flowing right now, you might as well say tomorrow. Because 2 weeks is no time in God's eyes. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. And he was born so that we could all live and be reconnected with the Father who's in heaven. We have to try to live a cheerful life no matter what. We have to try to pray as much as possible. And not only when we need something, but all of the time. Our prayers can be something simple as, God, thank you. Thank you for all you've given to me today. Thank you for all that you have done for me that I don't know that you've done for me. Amen? We have to not be afraid. We don't have to go to a seminary. We don't have to come to church. We just have to be prepared to humble ourselves and say thank you. Amen? And last but not least, no matter what happens in our lives, because we have to be thankful for this very day, because we weren't promised or guaranteed another day. If we receive another one, it's a blessing. This is what God wants you and me to do. And it seems like it's a fair ask. He woke us up this morning. Be thankful for it. Why can't we? Yeah, I know some things and some days aren't going to be rainbows and unicorns. And it's hard to be happy all the time. Trust me, I know that. But I want you to know that God created all of us for a purpose. He has a reason. He created all of us to fulfill some purpose in life, whether directly or indirectly. He created you specifically because he wishes to have a relationship with you and with you, with my children, with me. That's the whole reason that we were born. That's the reason I was born, and that's the reason why Jesus was born on Christmas Day over 2,000 years ago in the flesh. Our Father who art in heaven, the creator of the universe, God Almighty, thought that we were so important and so special that he wanted a relationship with each and every one of us. God has a plan for us. He told us this in Jeremiah 1:5 and Jeremiah 29:11. But I guess that's part of our fear. Why we're afraid to be happy. Why we're afraid to be joyful. It's our fear of being a part of something that we don't understand. A fear of being surprised. I can understand that because nobody wants to be surprised. I don't want to start my go out into the snow or into the cold and attempt to start my car and it doesn't want to start. I know y'all don't want to come to the church on a cold and snowy day and find that the key doesn't work to open up the door so that you can gather with your brothers and sisters. I know I don't want to come into a dead church. I want to come into a live body accompanied by the voices of angels singing. But our God, our Father in heaven, will never set us up for failure, no matter what little disappointments we have in life. It's not his way. See, we're told in Hebrews 13:5 that God will always be there with us through the thick and the thin, and that we don't ever have to worry about that in any way, shape, or form. He told us that and has shown us enough times throughout the Bible and through our life that he's not the kind of God that will ever allow us to suffer unnecessarily. He was the same in the past, the present, and will forever be in the future because he's a loving father like no other father. Amen? Don't be afraid. Make that joyful noise. Praise him. Thank him with every opportunity that you have, with every fiber of your being. See, because we're not here by accident. Although we were made from dust, and dust we shall return to one day, we're not mud, we're not trash. We are very members incorporated in the mystical body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and we are special. Because of that very reason, we should rejoice. We should be happy. We should be full of joy, even when the times are rough and the journey's not an easy walk. God the Father loves us and shows us love each and every day by granting us the blessings of waking up each and every morning in a world, in a place that he built for us with his perfect hands. He also showed his love by allowing his only begotten Son to die for our sins in order to reestablish that bond with him that was broken by sin. The overall message in the Bible is one of love. And it's very clear. God loves us. And he cares for us, regardless of where we've been, what we've done, what failures we've had, what hurts we felt or caused, and whatever struggles we're going through. God loves us. I believe in a relational God who has a relationship with the Son and with the Holy Ghost within the Trinity. of the Godhead and one who has a relationship with each and every one of us. Acts 17, verses 27 through 29 states that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, a Father guards, guides, and directs his children from infancy into adulthood, and sometimes well into that. God does the same. He protects us from evil and harmful mistakes. And those mistakes are what we sometimes bring on ourselves. He provides for us both spiritually and physically because he cares about our well-being. We are his children. We learn from our earthly and our spiritual father how to act morally, how to be compassionate, how to forgive, and how to have patience with one another. These are trying times in which we live. And we need to live our lives in order to be loving and compassionate to our brothers and sisters in Christ, because God loves us. And it's our responsibility to love one another. Is that a lot to ask? Yeah, it is. I'm not going to lie. These are times where we're living in. People we're dealing with. See, I know that I'm loud to my children. Not as much as I want to be, but I like to believe as much as I have to be. I do my best to shield them from the issues in life that I went through and I still go through. I put on a smile when the times are hard, when I'm in pain, when the road is curvy and it doesn't look like it's going to have an end. I just keep on trekking forward so that they have joy in their lives and a pep in their step as they go about doing whatever they're doing in the course of the day, so that they can experience the happiness in life that was meant for all of us to have. When the Magi went on the mission that they were assigned, that they were sent on by King Herod, they went east and followed the brightest star. When they finally found baby Jesus in the manger, the Bible tells us in Matthew 2:10 that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Not just regular joy, but exceeding great joy. They were happy. They were ecstatic. That's what we have to do. We wake up in the morning in our right minds with the full use of our extremities. No matter what pain we're in, we're awake. How many people today didn't wake up? We must be joyful, elated, ecstatic, thrilled, and whatever other synonym comes to your mind each and every morning that God has blessed us with. Amen? We have to not be afraid, because the light at the end of the tunnel is not always a train bearing down on us. Joy is a fruit and gift of the Spirit, along with love, peace, goodness, and so on. In the book of Galatians 5:25, we are told that if we live in the Spirit, and I know for a fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us, then we should be joyful and make use of all of the fruits that we've been blessed with. When I think about the people that God has put in my life, in my day-to-day, in my home in St. Elizabeth, and my home in Brooklyn, it makes me feel happy. It brings me joy. Don't focus, and I know it's hard to say, but don't focus on spiteful words and the assorted hurtful things that have been done to you by some people in the past and during the course of your day. When just going out there to get gas or driving down the road and somebody wants to zoom by you or honk that horn at you because you don't go through, you don't move your car as soon as the light turns green. Instead, you need to spend your time thanking God for the people who have been there for you, who have encouraged you when you were down and have been that shoulder for you to lean on when you needed them the most. Then you will feel that much needed joy. My brothers and sisters, even when we're sad for whatever reason and for however long it may last, we need to have faith in the knowledge and the love of God that eventually joy will come. When? In the morning. Because I want you to know that God loves each and every one of us. I want to say that again. God loves each and every one of us. Let us be joyful as much as possible each and every day of our lives. Let us not be afraid. Whether we see it in the morning, in the evening, or we don't see it at all, to say thank you, Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he says it is much more blessed to give than to receive.